Hello, and thanks for finding My Cape York Life, a podcast about the people who live on and care for Cape York. I'm Lyndall Scoble from Cape York Natural Resource Management. As I travel the Cape, I'm amazed and inspired by the people finding innovative ways to meet the challenges of living here. You'll meet them on My Cape York Life and get to know this beautiful and remote landscape through their eyes and through their experiences.
Oh, there was a white-breasted sea eagle just downstream that was looking for some breakfast, and there's a wampu pigeon calling across here. It's just absolutely paradise.
And we're at the mouth of the Bloomfield River. What is that we can see in the river?
I can see a croc coming towards the beach on the other side of the mouth. Must be a mother wants to lay an egg or looking for something to eat.
And we're sitting on the bank of Parrot Creek, which is a tributary of the Annan River. Our family has lived here for about a century or a bit better, I guess.
As a child in Cooktown, if we went to Cairns, it was probably once a year, and you'd leave at daylight and didn't get to Cairns until that night.
When the road was bad, everyone used to buy cartons of everything. When I first went to Crocodile, all the tin fruit and the tin jams had no labels on them. Billy Wallace used to pull all the labels off because everyone would eat all the good jam first.
My Cape York Life is brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management with the support of the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. You can find all our episodes on your favourite podcast app or on our website at landmanager.capeyorknrm.com.au. This time, we're in Cooktown to meet Vince Harrigan, singer, ranger, dad, and traditional owner of country at Normanby Station on southern Cape York. For many years, a large part of their country was worked as a cattle lease, the 31,000-hectare Normanby Station. The property was handed back to the family in the 1990s, and ever since they've been looking after country. Vince trained as a diesel fitter, but like many people on Cape York, he's a jack of all trades, including music. Vince plays and sings with the awesome Cape York band Black Image. I sat down with Vince on his veranda in Cooktown, overlooking the river and the mountains to the west.
My name's Vince Harrigan from Cooktown, born in Cairns but grew up here. My tribal areas are from my grandfather's side, the Gugu Yimitir, at the Battle Camp Normanby area, Balganwara, and my grandmother. She's a Digarba woman on the Gugu Yalanji side down in the Bloomfield area. Grew up here all my life through my schooling. Done all my schooling here and went away for high school. Back here again, and now I'm growing my own family up here now. Yeah.
Beautiful place to grow your kids up. So did you have a good childhood here?
Yeah, pretty good upbringing. One of six children Mum and Dad had. Six boys, and I'm the youngest, so it was a good place to grow up. Family and friends all close by, both on the Woodjall, Hopewell side, and as well as here in Cooktown, yeah. So really close community, yeah.
And what kinds of things did you do as a kid?
Oh, I think pretty much typical bush kids, fishing, hunting. Spent a lot of time with my grandfather at the station, Normanby, where I am working today. Riding horses, mustering, that sort of stuff. Learning a lot of him, yeah.
So I noticed as I was coming in today the saddle's hanging up downstairs, so you're a bit of a keen horseman?
Yeah, I've been involved through my grandfather and my father and his brothers. They're all ringers, all worked on stations. I think it just runs in the blood, I think, yeah.
It's a good life, isn't it? Nothing like getting on the back of a horse and taking off down a paddock.
No, that's it. It's a good life, all right. Yeah, getting my kids involved now, and they love it too, so which is good. Following the footsteps, you know.
So, Vince, you've got three kids.
Yeah, three kids, yeah. Two daughters and a son. I think that's it now. Yeah, our family is complete, so, yeah.
Your family's complete,
yeah. Yeah, but, they're good kids, and I'm glad that my partner found the time to be up here with me and you know, let our kids grow up in this environment where we sort of grew up. Yeah.
And so why is that important? Why is it important for you to have your kids grow up here?
Oh, I think it's can show them and teach them the stuff that I used to do and keeping their culture strong, you know, and especially my mum still comes down and talks language to them, and I think just keeping that tradition still alive with them, you know, and in a small community, they can appreciate more than what I think other kids that miss out, that live in this sort of city sort of thing, you know. Yeah, they can still have the freedom to go fishing and do stuff that they, it's not stuck in a room watching a computer screen and or waiting to go and grab McDonald's or something. Yeah, at least they can see where their food source come from sort of thing, you know. Yeah.
So a pretty healthy environment, but it's also pretty safe in a town like this, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, small town, everyone knows one another. It's funny, a lot of the kids that every now and again I still see it up at the school. I went to school with them now. We're sitting down watching our kids and assembly and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, good to see there's still a few local families still living here and bringing their kids up here as well, you know.
So you headed out of town for a little while, so you spent a little bit of time in Mareeba?
Yeah, well, work commitments. My partner, when we had our first daughter, she was living in Mareeba. Work sort of commitment took me down there, and being a diesel fitter by trade, I'd got a bit of work at Mareeba Toyota there for a while, and we had our first daughter, and that's how I ended up in Mareeba, and then we stayed there for 2-3 years, and then ended up, coming back up here again, yeah.
So you did your apprenticeship here as a diesel fitter?
No, I did it in Woodgill. Yeah, at the workshop, local workshop down there, the council workshop. Finished school and, did my time down there. It was 4 years, but I ended up doing 6 years down there.
So did you live down there while you were there?
Yeah, lived down there, Lived down there, so it was good too. It gave me that balance of, although I grew up in Cook down here, but having that, life and seeing it from working in a community. Yeah, it was good though, and I'm still thankful today they gave me the opportunity to do my apprenticeship down there, you know. Yeah.
It's a great trade to have. You'll sort of never be out of work, I don't think, when you're a diesel fitter.
No. I thought at the time it'd take a long time, and there's a few times I wanted to pull out, but I'm glad it sort of paid off in the end, and now I've got a ticket for life. And I don't know whether I'll use it again, but it's there anyway, you know. Yeah.
So now you're working out at Normanby Station, but it's not just a job out there for you, is it?
No, it's pretty much it's a lifestyle, and it's pretty much being a station. You might as well say it's a 24-hour job every day. You're not only working during the day, but you're trying to keep things running out on the place. You know, bores running and stuff like that. And it's a good challenge, but you know, it's something that I've committed myself to, and I'm happy. Yeah.
So Vince, Normanby is your great grandmother's country. So can you tell us how that connection has become stronger and how you got that country back? Because it would have been in somebody else's hands for a little while.
Yeah, it was purchased back in 1995 through the old ATSIC days back then. My great-grandmother's buried there, and when the people that had the place, they were sort of getting a bit older and time to move on, so they decided to sell up, and at that time ATSIC purchased Normanby on behalf of my grandfather, knowing that the old lady was buried there, his mother, you know, Gulgi Galbay, we call her. Yeah.
So that must have been a pretty special time.
Yeah, it was for him. I'm glad he got to see it, because after he passed away 2 years later, so I'm glad he got the chance to spend a little bit of time on the place. And I'm glad I got to spend a bit of time with him too on the place. I was only young, I think 10 or something, 9 or 10. But within that little short period out there, it wasn't enough, but it was at that time enough for me to learn what's it take to sort of run a cattle property, you know, by watching my grandfather. Yeah, it was good to see him happy that he was finally back on country. Yeah.
Vince Harrigan, a traditional owner of Normanby Station on Cape York Peninsula. My Cape York Life is a podcast made by Cape York Natural Resource Management with support from the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. Look for previous episodes at our website or search My Cape York Life on your favourite podcast app. And you can find Cape York Natural Resource Management on Facebook and Twitter. We're having a yarn with Vince Harrigan on his veranda in Cooktown, Cape York Peninsula. Can you tell us what you're doing out there now? What kinds of things are happening on Normanby Station?
So through the land and sea program, as well as joint the ranger program with the Malsonby guys, Bulga and Water Rangers. Yeah, we've managed to do a lot of things like weed work, eradicating weed and feral animals, as well as gully erosion control that we just started last year. From a time where you could see the place was looking a bit sick, and it's now looking, starting to become healthy again with the works that's happening out there at the moment, as well as doing stuff with the local school kids in Tania, in Cooktown. They've been coming out there and giving us a hand, putting fences up around water lagoons and water holes and that, so we can keep feral animals out, like pigs and horses and cattle and that. No, it's been a big step in the last 2 years out there. Yeah, it's been a big change, and the work is starting to show for itself out there, you know, that it's really starting to flourish. Yeah.
So what are the kinds of indicators when the country's getting healthy again? So what does it look like? How do you know it's getting healthy?
Well, things like fire control. We're starting to have a bit more control on the country now with our burning, as well as weed. We're sort of noticing not as much now that we are targeting specific areas, as well as fencing off eroded gullies and that from cattle and that sort of stuff, and horses and that, and starting to see places sort of rehabilitate themselves and, you know, come back to life. That sort of stuff, yeah.
How many people are working out there with you?
Well, at the moment there's, I think there's about six all up in the ranger program. There's two on Normanby, me and my brother, and on the other side, in Malsonby side, there's, four over that side, yeah.
So that's a fair bit of country that you're working on. Like there's so I imagine it keeps you pretty busy. There's a bit of land out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, with the main Normanby River running through the middle, there's 31,400 acres all up. So a fair bit of country, yeah. I didn't mention before that a lot of rock art as well. We started to do a lot of cultural monitoring stuff with our rock art, you know, and both sides, both Malsonby and Normanby.
That's sandstone country out there, isn't it, where you are?
Yeah, that's right, yeah, all sandstone, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what it looks like what the environment's like, the hills and what kind of trees and stuff like that are out there?
Yeah, we've got a lot of sandstone, a lot of sand ridges, and there's a lot of scarlet gum, as well as boxwood and bloodwoods and all that. Tea tree, so yeah, it's all pretty diverse, yeah.
That scarlet gum's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty tree when the flower's blooming. Yeah, it's nice timber as well, yeah.
And the Normanby River, you said, runs through the middle of the property. The Normanby's a pretty important system, isn't it, too, for the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's runs out to Princess Charlotte Bay there, up the top end there. And so it's a pretty big river. You've got the Kennedy and the Laura and all that all run into it. So one of the big major river systems in Cape York, and that's where we're... gully erosion control stuff that we've been doing. We're trying to save a lot of that runoff and that's running off into the river there that ends up out the reef there. Very important, yeah.
I was just about to say that very thing. It's important work, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Also, as a cultural sort of side, it's our connection to our totem as well, where we are crocodile people, you know.
Yeah,
though it plays a pretty important role within our people, you know, yeah.
Are you still running cattle out there?
Yeah, still running about 30 breeders at the moment. I'm just trying to eradicate a lot of the feral stuff at the moment. Slowly putting up fences and that to keep them behind wire and that, so I can have a bit more control. Slow steps, small steps, but they're big steps, you know? Yeah.
And so, Vince, you're a pretty busy fella with family, three kids, working out there at Normanby. But you've got another little thing that you do on the side, which is pretty important to you too, I think, with your music.
Oh, yeah. I say there's another sort of hobby that sort of been with us for a long time. Me and five of my brothers, we play in a band, and I think that sort of came from our father. He played he had a band, played in many bands here and cooked down here and around the Cape, and we sort of followed in his footsteps, and he passed away in 2016, and I think that's where all that comes from, yeah. We formed in 97, been travelling the country a bit, yeah, so.
And the band's called the Black Image Band?
Yeah, that's it, yeah, we, yeah, like I said, five brothers, Black Image, yeah, and, you know, that's another good thing that sort of happened. As a family, we seen a lot of country through our music as well, you know. Which has been good, and met a lot of people as well, you know.
Yeah. It's not just a hobby, because you do play lots of gigs around the country, and you've put down a couple of CDs as well.
We've got three albums. We've done three albums, and latest technology now, I think you can just download it on iTunes and that sort of stuff now. But before, you'd have to come to Cook down here and buy it from the local CD shop here. Electrical shop, or if not, come to the house here and we'll give you one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but been good. I think biggest accomplishment was winning the Band of the Year, National Band of the Year at the Opera House back in 2011, I think. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, considering we were up against bands from the Territory and all over the WA and a lot of well-known bands, you know. And so it was, it was a big accomplishment, and I'm glad, you know, we took our mum and dad down with us, and they got to see it all, and our kids are sort of seeing, I think we've been good role models, you know, for not only our own kids, but everyone else as well, you know. Yeah. It's nothing like going to a gig and seeing little kids, you know, singing out a song like the Mullet Song or something, you know, and want you to play it, and they know every word to it.
Because the music is about culture and about country and stories from the land as well, isn't it?
Well, most of our songs are all written about our country up this way, especially Cape York and that, you know, and two communities, Hopewell and Woodgill especially, you know, and we're just very proud to let the nation know and the world know where we come from. We're very proud of that, yeah.
As you should be. And people can get a taste of Black Image at the end of the podcast. This in series two of my Cape York Life, because we're using the Cape York song to see out each of the interviews. So thanks very much to the band for that too.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
And Vince, you know, there's been a lot of change on Cape York in recent years. You know, it's growing. There are more visitors coming to the area. People are getting their country back. Lots of changes that are happening. So what have you seen, and what are you excited about, and also what are your concerns for the future of Cape York?
Well, I think the main good thing about it all is seeing country getting handed back, especially seeing some of the older people that are starting to get a bit frail and that still have the opportunity to get back out there and still reminisce and bring back memories of when they were growing up, and it's good to see that sort of stuff happening. On the other side, I suppose, or the other side of the coin, is not a lot of the old people are around now to see that happen. I think it's the future's getting bright now in Cape York, especially that some of the land that's joint management with national parks. I think that's been real good. The joint management, I think, is starting to work well now. And also, I think it's good to see a lot of the younger ones, young leaders, I think, in the Cape that are stepping up and sort of taking control of their, not only their land, but having a voice for their people as well, you know, which is good. But one thing that's real worrying is mining, I think, being at Normanby there and just having in the back of your head that anyone could come one day and find something and that's it, it's gone, you know. So I think stuff like cultural monitoring, putting cultural sites and that, I think that's going to be the major key to saving that sort of stuff from going ahead, you know. So I'm a big believer in that, yeah. Yeah.
And so what's the Cape York that you'd like to see for your kids in when they grow up, when they're your age?
I'd like to see Cape York stand out as a very safe place to grow up in. I'd like to see them be proud of where they come from up here. And I'd like to see opportunities for, like, job-wise and that. I'd like to see that, you know, they could have many options as they can, you know, to stay in the north and especially in the Cape here, work up here and grow their own families up here. And that's what I'd like to see, yeah. Just thanks for the interview.
Thank you so much for your time. I can hear your kids in the background. You've got very happy children inside and they're probably missing their dad. I've taken you away from them for the afternoon. So thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Vince Harrigan, known to people on Cape York as Porky, on his veranda in Cooktown, Cape York Peninsula. Next time on My Cape York Life, Jesse Price, a Cape York resident on the challenges and rewards of working in environmental management and being a young mum on Cape York Peninsula.
Sitting on the end of the airstrip at Violet Vale, it's a beautiful day today. Beautiful skies, nice breeze, not so hot anymore. It's been a stinking hot week and today's actually shaping up to be a lot better than it's been. I've just spent a week on the wetlands around Port Stewart and Silver Plains Station with Lumma Lumma Rangers. It's part of a wetland monitoring program that we've been doing with them since, I think about 2010 was the first year the catchment group went up and did wetlands with them. And this was my fifth year up there, so bit different this time as I had my 7-month-old baby girl with me as well.
How was that?
It was an adventure. Yes, it was very hot. It was a bad week to have a baby on the wetlands of Cape York. Whoa, it's a damn big island.
You follow us, follow the sound home. My Cape York Life is a podcast made by Cape York Natural Resource Management. Look for previous episodes at our website or search My Cape York Life on your favourite podcast app. I'm Lyndall Scoble. And I'll see you next time on My Cape York Life. I tell you, my little home is Cape York.